It's a project for Liverpool.
For the Liverpool Biennial.
For Liverpool Biennial.
Speciale Biennale di Liverpool. Mille campane di vetro sono state soffiate per la Biennale di Liverpool e raccontano una storia. È il lavoro dell'artista brasiliana Laura Belém, che abbiamo incontrata all'interno dell'oratorio di St. James, dove è installato Temple for a Thousand Bells, il progetto presentato per la mostra Touched. Insieme abbiamo parlato di percezione, leggende, suono e di come il lavoro dell'artista brasiliana inviti il visitatore a rallentare e ad ascoltare il proprio silenzio. L'intervista è in inglese.
So my name is Laura Belém. I'm a visual artist from Brazil, and I work mainly with installations and site-specific and context-responsive works. That means that I create works based on contexts, places, the history of the space or the architecture of it. I use all this as a motivation for creation of my works. And I work a little bit also with drawing, photography, video, and many of my installations include sound as well. So this work for the Liverpool Biennial is called The Temple of a Thousand Bells, and it's an intervention at the place, the building called the Oratory, which is a former chapel of St. James Cemetery, which is just below. And nowadays it's a place that displays 19th century memorial sculptures. And the work consists of 1,000 blown glass bells. They were especially blown for the work, and a sound piece. And it's based on a legend. I mean, the creation of the work departed somehow from this legend of a temple of 1,000 bells that was built on an island. And over the years, the island sank into the sea, and with it, the temple bells. And it became a legend that those bells were still ringing underwater. So I rewrote this legend, and then there is the attempt of a sailor to listen to the lost music of the bells.
Thousands of years ago, a beautiful temple was built on an island.
I recorded the story with a narrator, and I worked with a Brazilian composer to create music and sound effects for the piece. And it's a polyphony. It's a 5 channels sound piece.
The bells would chime in a sublime symphony. But over the centuries, the island sank into the sea, and along with it, the temple. All that was left of it was a legend.
There are different versions of this legend on different parts of the world, and that I found quite interesting as well. And there is a version of it at the north of France, at Breton. And actually, Claude Debussy composed a piece of piano piece, a prelude, in 1910, based on that legend. And there is also a version of it in India, I found out, and also in Japan. So I think it's slightly different versions in different parts of the world.
A sailor was traveling around the world and heard this legend. Feeling inspired by it, he navigated toward the place where the island was said to exist.
Yeah, I found this legend very beautiful and also quite intriguing, and I find that it inspires oneself to connect to his or her own inner silence somehow. And I think that's sort of the mood that the viewer needs to experience this work when he enters this space, has to slow down. Yeah, because people have to be able to listen, really listen, and for listening you have to be sort of silent and connect your inner silent. I mean in the way that you come with your own experiences to feel the work, to experience the work. The work, the legend, is about lost music of the bells, and those glass bells that are hanging from the ceiling, they were blown without clappers, so they make no sound. So the lost music of the bells is not shown anywhere. I mean, you can hear some little sounds of bells at the audio. You can look up and see the bells, but it's not like a symphony of bells, you know. It's not like the music is revealed. So the viewer has to discover it, and that's what I say, maybe discover it inside of himself or in his surroundings, something.
Feeling discouraged, the sailor went back to the village where he first heard the legend told by an old wise man.
I've been working very much through site specificity, I think since 2000. And for me, site-specific work does not mean that the artwork is the site. But it means that it depends a lot on the features of the site. It really relates to that specific context of a place. Could be relating to its history, aspects of the history or the architecture or cultural aspects of it, somehow really relates to the space. That's my idea of site-specific work. I indicated that I wanted to install this work at a temple or a church, and then the biennial came out with the idea of using the oratory to host the piece, and I thought it was a very interesting idea, and I liked it very much because I think this space has also got a lot of history that goes that matches very much the concept of the piece, and also the bells that they could maybe suggest individual lives as well, because they were blown individually, so although they have the same size, they are slightly different, so it's almost like a thousand different lives or people. Actually, I made a drawing of a bell, how I wanted it to look like, to be, and I sent it to the biennial and asked them whether they could contact local glass blowers here. And they contacted this company, this place at the north of Wales called Glass Blobbery. And they made a few bells as samples and sent to Brazil until I approved the shape of the bell, and then they were produced. We only broke 6 bells when we were installing. Yeah, they're very fragile. Yeah, they're very fragile and delicate.
One day, gazing at the vastness of the ocean, the sailor heard a fascinating song, the song of a mermaid.
I think a lot of my work is very contemplative, and I find contemplation an important part of visual art and visual culture, although in contemporary art I know it's not the most important thing many times, but I find it very important to work with delicacy, gentleness and contemplation, these concepts. And I think it's just trying to respond to the space in a sensitive and poetic way. That's the most important thing for me. And maybe the delicacy and the gentleness comes as a consequence of it. For me, to be political is to be conscious. So I think that every artwork that is conscious is political. I also believe in telling messages like in a subtle way. You don't have to hold a flag in your hand like in order to be political, you know. You can be political by addressing the everyday, by changing the perception of a space slightly, by instigating some other sort of memories or inspiration in the viewer. And it's important for me how the viewer will be activated by the work somehow. I mean, when he or she comes here to experience the piece and spends some time here, how he will, when he leaves the space, how will he be changed? Will his perception of the surroundings or of himself be affected or be changed by the work somehow? And if that happens, I'm happy, because that I think is about being political as well.
Infused his entire being. And in it, he became more and more absorbed.
That was a quite important aspect about the work as well. When we're looking for a space to install the piece, and the biennial suggested the oratory, because this space is usually closed, even for the people who inhabit Liverpool. So it means that showing an artwork here helps make it open for the public in general, for people who live here, that who don't have the opportunity to visit the space in regular basis, you know. And I've heard many people were coming to talk to me at the launch in August, and they were saying that, oh, I've lived in Liverpool for such a long time, many years, and I never had the opportunity to enter this space. So I think that's an important aspect of public art as well, because this is a public building, but the access to the public is usually not allowed. So by installing an artwork here, we make it accessible as well. Public art for me is certainly not only the art that is on the streets. I mean, this is a public building, so an intervention in a public building is also public art. I prefer to talk about art in public realm. Yeah, maybe relating in a deeper way to the local community, you know, of the place that you are showing, including more people, more viewers, maybe bringing more access maybe to art, and showing the importance of art to a city and to people who live in that place. I think that could be something like that, you know, like to try to define what's public art. Mm-hmm. You get to learn a lot as well when you work with local artisans and local people, you know, that informs the work very much and contributes to the work conceptually, visually, in a specific way, I think, because they're relating to a particular context and culture and geography as well. Well, I think for me, the fact that the viewer will have will be able to access the work somehow from his own experiences and memories and imagination is quite important, because I don't want to make an artwork for specialists, you know. I don't want to make work only for the art world. That's one part of the thing, but it's for everyone that will be open, that has some kind of openness, can experience my work. On the other hand, I hope that I am not making like just very easy, like fast food work, of course. And for that, I think it's finding a sort of balance, you know, between being accessible and between being hermetic, like it's just like the like a middle path somehow. Well, I'm often using also strategies of narrative in my work. Through those narratives, I believe I can some sort of suggest one kind of reading for the work, and on the other hand, also leave it open for the viewer to have his or her own interpretation, you know. And I think the pieces speak for themselves as well. That's a quite important thing about my work as well. I try to keep that. I had a very good response at the launch in August. People were coming to talk to me and relating it to very different things. I mean, one photographer came to talk to me and told me about a story of a man that used to live in the cemetery below on his own. And that became sort of a legend, local legend as well, you know, and then the man disappeared and nobody knows if he died or what happened. And some people were telling me about the history of this space that they had heard before, so how this intervention changed the perception of this space. And
in danger of tumbling overboard, the sailor was awoken in time by the wind. Fully awake and determined to listen to the music of the bells, he asked the wind to help him once again. Could it reach into the depths of the ocean and make the bells ring out? He waited in vain for a response.
Some people were telling about how the bells somehow look like water drops. That's something I expected as well, like when I opted to make the bells all translucent, clear glass, is that this would look like a sculpture mass of glass, and that when people are walking below it, it would feel somehow like walking or being underwater. And that relates to the, again, to the story and the concept of the work and issues, concepts of transient, ephemerality, passage of time. These are all present in my works.
Listening to the mysterious legend again, he felt his heart inflamed by its words. Full of hope, he returned to the middle of the ocean and with all of his might attempted to block out the sound of the sea. But its noise was overwhelming and seemed to flood his mind.
When I was a child, the presence of music in my life was quite strong because my father used to like very much music and concerts, and he would take me and my sisters, and one of my sisters became a pianist, actually. So I always liked music, sound, and I think when you use sound in the visual art context, could be a very interesting way, can be a very interesting way to explore the construction of images and the suggestion of images, not actually showing the images. So you instigate the viewer's imagination. And so that's what I'm trying to do when I use sound in my works, just suggest some images that you can just perhaps build them up in your own mind, or probably connect some of the aspects of the audio with visual elements of that piece, if it's the case, because for instance this Liverpool Biennial piece has got the visual elements of the glass bells. So what's the relation between the sound and the visual element at the work, that I find something very interesting to explore when I show work. I think it's about working with different levels of perception as well.
He thus decided to give up his quest and to continue his journey around the world. With a deep breath, the sailor finally surrendered to the sounds of the ocean. And for the first time, he listened effortlessly.
I don't define myself as a sound artist because I'm not an expert.
A profound silence infused his entire
sound.
Being. And in
and
it, he became
I always,
more and more absorbed.
I have to learn a little bit. I learn a lot from sound technicians and musicians as well. I learn from my sister, who is a I'm not a sound artist. I'm only using sound in every piece that I do. As I said, I
in
learn a little bit.
In the depths of the silence, the sailor heard a peaceful, yet very clear sound, and this was followed by another, which bloomed into yet another, and they all merged into a symphony that cannot be described in words.